Good evening, everybody. I just want to remind everyone that this evening we're having a special program in honor of Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who has made a tremendous accomplishment in his spreading of Torah throughout the world. So everyone is invited to attend from 8 to 9 this evening. We're having Rabbi Leibowitz will speak, myself, and Charlie Harari. All are invited to attend. It should be from 8 to 9, maybe till 9:10, something of that nature. But we'll see everybody later at 8 o'clock. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, the Gemara tells us a very important idea from Reish Lakish, and that is, La'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. A person always should be most careful not to open their mouth up, so to speak, to the satan. Don't allow the satan to catch you up on something that you said and then use it against you. And that's what the Gemara says there. The Gemara then repeats it in other places as well. We have a Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara repeats the same idea and says, sometimes you have a person, kishgaga yotze milifne hashalit. Sometimes you say something, and you don't realize that later on it's going to work against you, and God will actually listen to the words that you said, even though you didn't intend for that consequence and for that outcome. As the Gemara tells us, bris krusa lisfasayim. There's something very unique and very special about the lips, about the words. And the Gemara learns that out in Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches from the story of Avram Avinu. It works both in the positive and the negative. By Avram Avinu it says, V'nishtachave v'nashuva aleichem. Shvulachem po machamar, you should wait here, and we, plural, we will come back together. Both Yitzchak and I will come back. And says the Gemara, that's why in the end of the day, Avram and Yitzchak both were able to return back to Eliezer and Yishmael, because that's what Avram Avinu originally had said, and God listened to his words. So you see that it works in both directions. We have a Gemara which tells us in Ksubas Dach Samach Bey is a very frightening story. The Gemara there says about the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai. And the Gemara tells us that his son-in-law's name was Yehuda. And this son-in-law was a tremendous tzaddik, and he used to spend the entire week out in the Beis Medrash somewhere, and he only used to return every Friday afternoon. And then, Matzah Shabbos right away, he would go back for the week. He would come back to his family on Friday afternoon. Now this big tzaddik by the name of Yehuda, every time he was coming close to the city, it says that a big cloud of fire or of smoke used to be over his head. So they knew already from a distance that he was coming, because they would see the cloud of smoke traveling along the road coming closer to the town. One Friday afternoon, the whole family is waiting outside to see if Yehuda is coming home. And Rabbi Yanai, the father-in-law, says, it must be that Rabbi Yehuda passed away, because if Rabbi Yehuda was alive, there's no way he would come late on a Friday afternoon. He knows everybody's waiting for him. It just so happens to be that Friday afternoon he got so involved in his learning, even though he was involved all week, but he got so heavily involved that he forgot that it was already almost time for Shabbos. He forgot to return home. And indeed, what happened was he lost his life because his father-in-law said it must be that he's lost his life. That's what the Gemara tells us. And the Gemara there says that was one of the cases of Shgaga Yotzi Milifne HaShalit, that was an example of a person who said something and an unintended consequence came about because of something that they said. Like the Gemara tells us, Al yiftach adam piv l'satan. A person always has to be most careful with the words that they choose and how they use them and exactly what we say and when we say it, because God sometimes can listen to our words and take them very literally. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks, he doesn't understand. He says, what's the story? Don't we know? Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh. We say it in Ashrei all the time. God does the will of those who love him, of those who are close with him. So Rabbi Yanai over here, he didn't have any intention to kill his son-in-law. God knows that that's not what he wanted. So why is it that God went against the will of Rabbi Yanai? Why did God kill the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai? That's obviously not what Rabbi Yanai had in mind. Obviously, it's not what Rabbi Yanai wanted. If we know Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh, why did God go ahead and do something which was against the will of the tzaddik himself? Explains Rabbi Chanan a most important idea. He says the reason why is because when you have a person who stands there with an axe and he's chopping wood, even if something is in the way that he doesn't want to cut, if it's in the way, it's going to get cut. If you have somebody who's standing there with a knife and there's something underneath him, that even though he doesn't want to cut it, but it's right underneath the place where he's cutting everything else, it will get sliced. It doesn't matter whether he wants to or not. So too over here, he says, words are, you have to be so careful with words because words are like a knife. And if you don't use them properly, whether you had intention for that or not, God sometimes can take your words, says Rabbi Chanan, it could be kegarzan biyad hachotziv. It could be like an axe being held in the hand of the person who's chopping wood, or it could be like a knife in the hand of the person who's cutting up meat. That is the way words can work as well. So we have to be very careful. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz writes in his Yaris Devash, also a very important thing about words. He says, "Kol diber sheyotze mipi adam osa roshem." Every word that we utter from our mouths makes an impression. It makes a roshem on the world. Ubavanoseinu harabim adam mifat beit kol hayom b'diburim. We chatter and we gossip and we say all sorts of things. Ve'eino margish, and we don't take the time to recognize shebechal davar osa roshem, that there's a consequence, that there's an impact on all the words that we say. How are we not careful about all the things? Forget about the Lashon Hara and the Rechilas and all that thing, which is obviously not allowed. But even not so, just being so careful about how sensitive we are with the words that we say. So much so that we assume, a human being is called a Nefesh Chaya. Rashi explains, the Unkelis writes, why is it that we're called Nefesh Chaya? What about us is Nefesh Chaya? Unkelis explains, Ruach Memalala, the whole nature of a human being. What puts him up above everybody else is the fact that a human being has the power of speech and is able to communicate, and that's what we consider ourselves to be, a Nefesh Chaya. We consider ourselves to be a step above the rest of nature. We have a Gemara Baba Kama Daf Lamed where the Gemara says, "Hai man dili mevid limibay chasida." Someone who wants to be chasida means not a chasidish person; it means a person who wants to be a chasid, who wants to be a pious individual. Says the Gemara, "Yikayim mila dinazikin." That person should make sure to be careful about all of Hilchas Nazikin. Don't ever damage other people. Make sure your property is always away from other people's property. Make sure you're never going to be encroaching on somebody else, and make sure you never do anything to hurt other people. That's what the Gemara says. That's a simple understanding. Says the Ben Yehoyada in his interpretation of the Gemara, obviously it's not the simple pshat, but he says, somebody who wants to be a chassid, somebody who wants to be a true tzaddik, you know what he does? Yekayim mili dinazikin. You will make sure to be careful about your mili, about your words that so often are damaging to other people. And that's the way you make sure that you're going to ultimately become a chassid, a tzaddik, a pious individual, because you're so careful about the sensitivity, about every word that you say, about every word that comes out of your mouth. You're careful to make sure that it's always carefully worded and it's always carefully measured. So with all that in mind, this is why in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya we're told, when a person is sitting Shiva, Rachmana Litzlan, when somebody is sitting Shiva, the halacha is you never say to an avel, shave. You never say to them, sit down. Why? Because that has a negative connotation, which means you should remain. You know, you happen to be an avelis, you should remain in your avelis, or you should endure this avelis and stay there forever. That's why we never say the word shave, even though obviously it's not what we mean. If an avel stands up and we tell him to sit down, that's not what we mean, that he should remain there forever. But still, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you have to be so careful, based on the Gemara Moed Katan, you have to be so careful and go to the opposite direction, never even to make any mention of such a negative kind of connotation. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan explains, halacha lemaisa. When you have, it's a shayla that comes up. What happens when a rabbi or a Rosh Hashiva or somebody very special comes into the room to visit you when you're sitting Shiva? So are you supposed to sit down? Or I'm sorry, are you supposed to stand up for that person out of respect the same way you would otherwise throughout the year? Similarly, if somebody's sick in a hospital and somebody else comes to visit you and they're some sort of dignified individual, halacha is you don't stand up for the person when they walk in. Why not? What happened to Kavod Talmidei Chachamim? What happened to Kibud Av V'Em? A parent walks in, you should stand up for them. Why don't we do that? Either when a person's sick or when a person is sitting Shiva, the answer explains the Aruch HaShulchan is, because what's the natural reaction when somebody stands up for me? So what do I say? Oh, no, please sit down. Well, you're not allowed to say please sit down to someone who's sick or to someone who's sitting Shiva, because we're concerned that there's some sort of negative spin that maybe was even unintentional, but maybe that's what you are going to come out from the words that you say. We have to be so careful with our words. If that's the case, we come to a pasuk in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayigash. Finally, we have Yosef meets up again with his father Yaakov Avinu, and it's a very monumental sight. It's an occasion that they were all waiting for. Finally, they come back together. What does Yaakov Avinu say? Vayomer Yisrael. What is his immediate response? He says, Amusa hapam, acharei ra'osi es panecha, ki od chachai. Now that I see that you're alive, oh, now I can die. Now, you know, life is worth living, and now I'm done. What do you mean? What do you mean? Aren't we careful with the way we speak? Isn't Yaakov Avinu concerned that maybe Al tiftach pelasat, and he's opening himself up for something to be used against him? He tells God, yeah, now I'm worth, I live my life out, and I'm good enough, and I don't need life any longer. Maybe God's going to take your life. Why wasn't Yaakov Avinu concerned about that? Explains the Maharil Diskin, a brilliant, brilliant answer, and with this we'll close for Maariv. Explains the Maharil Diskin, Rashi in the Pasuk right before this explains that what was Yaakov Avinu doing at the time when he met up with his son, Yosef? As we all know, the Medrash tells us, he was reciting Kriya Shema. So Yaakov Avinu is reciting Kriya Shema. And every day, for all those years, he's saying the Pasuk, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Miyodecha. What do we say when we say B'chol Nafshecha? What does it mean? Gemara tells us we're supposed to have a mind. Nafilu hu notel es nafshecha. Person has to be willing, even to be Moser Nefesh, even to give up their life for the Ribbono Shel Olam, if that's what he chooses to do to us. That's what we mean when we say B'chol Nafshecha. Yaakov Avinu all those years says, I'm not willing to give up my life for anything. God promised me I'm going to have 12 Shvatim. One of my Shvatim died. One of my Shvatim is not here. I'm not willing to give up my life because my mission in life is not over. I'll never give up my life. If God told me that my mission in life is to bring 12 Shvatim into the world and make sure that they prosper and make sure that they're successful and that they carry on the legacy to the next generation, I have not fulfilled my mission, and therefore I am not ready to say b'chol nafshecha with all of my heart, because I'm not ready to give over my whole heart. I'm not ready to be mosa nefesh for him. Now that he sees his son Yosef and he sees that his family is complete and he sees that his mission has been completed, now he says, in the middle of Kriya Shema, b'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notelas nafshecha, he says, amusa hapam. Now I can actually say it with a full heart. Every time I recite Kriya Shema, I can now say with a full heart, b'chol nafshecha, I actually mean it. If I've accomplished everything that God set out for me to accomplish in life, now I'm ready to give up my life for Mesiras Nefesh, if that's what God so chooses. It's not that Yaakov Avinu is opening himself up to have a psichas pelasatan, but rather, Yaakov Avinu was recognizing the fact that now God made his family once again complete and had the mission that was started many, many years ago finally finished off. Rav Hanani ben Akasha, Omer, Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezarkas HaSisro.